My Way by the Sex Pistols? I don't think so. This is not a Sex Pistols moment, Jay. This is Don Rumsfeld's moment, which we might call a case of no unknowns.
There are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Maybe it's just me. It usually is, but I'm feeling a kind of nostalgia for this voice. Donald Rumsfeld, the brash, the immovable force, Secretary of Defense, not once, but twice. His memoir, Known and Unknown, of course, takes its title from that famous quote of the author. It's as though Lincoln, if he'd lived to write his memoir, had entitled his book 4 Score and 10. Pretty awesome quote, huh? 730 pages, and the reviewers were expecting an apology? Remorse? Regret? Excuse me? You've got to be kidding. This is what Donald Rumsfeld said about the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuses back in 2004.
Is it something that shouldn't have happened in the first place? Yes. Does it rank up there with chopping someone's head off on television? It doesn't.
Wasn't as bad as a public beheading. Who expects an apology after that? I don't. In fact, the sheer beauty of Rumsfeld's memoir is it's like some hardened steel blade. It's like a perfect diamond or something. Rumsfeld's perfect audacity is Shakespearean. You watch him with a kind of wonder.
You go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time.
In his book, Rumsfeld describes that scene of being confronted by soldiers on a base in Alaska asking about a shortage of armor in their vehicles with a little story about some woman who suggested he had brass balls for being willing to face the disgruntled troops. The chapter ends with the woman and the protagonist silently smiling. Kind of a wink that suggests it's Rumsfeld who gets the last word.
You believed absolutely, categorically, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction?
I don't do a lot of things categorically. Anyone who's been around intelligence gathering knows that it can be wrong. I mean, Colin Powell's been around for longer than anybody in terms of...
He said he was devastated.
Of course he was. Everyone was. But my Lord, he's the guy who had more experience than anyone else.
Diane Sawyer's questions come about as close to an interrogation as Rumsfeld is likely to face for his book. And with little in the way of waterboarding, he gives up Secretary of State Colin Powell there. Did you catch that?
No one asked, no one polled the room, said, is this the right decision?
No, the president talked about it, and people talked, discussed it with him, discussed elements of it. And I didn't hear people feeling strongly that he should or shouldn't. There's
but
a lot of stuff in the press
that
Colin Powell was against it, but I've never saw even the slightest hint of that.
Here's what Rumsfeld says about Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor.
She'd never served in a senior administration position. She'd been an academic, and, you know, a lot of academics like to have meetings.
Apology for anything? Oh, please. This is Rumsfeld we're talking about, not some Jimmy Swaggart.
When they use those words like micromanaging, terrifying, dismissive.
Oh, the poor people. I terrified them. My goodness, come on. These are people with stars on their shoulders. They're people who are patriots. They're people who've fought battles, and they weren't terrified or intimidated. My goodness gracious. I asked tough questions. There's no question about it. And if someone doesn't know the answer, it's not fun for them.
A lot of people would say it was not fun for America or the world when Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense the second time. And much of this memoir focuses on the fun Don and Dick Cheney had way back during the Ford administration, helping to chase Henry Kissinger out of Washington by accident and helping Gerald Ford by accident to be eventually trampled by neocon Ronald Reagan.
Why do we have to keep going through this? Of course I bear responsibility. My Lord, I'm Secretary of Defense. Write it down. Quote it. You can bank it.
Of course, Rumsfeld is not referring to the Ford administration there. He's the paleocon become the neocon, engaging in his favorite sport, deflecting the press, which kicked him around for 6 solid years to, it seems, his great amusement.
I read 8 headlines that talked about chaos, violence, unrest, and it just was henny penny, the sky is falling, I've never seen anything like it, and here is a country that's being liberated.
Of Iraq, in his book, Rumsfeld said it was the right decision to invade, imperfect only in execution by the bumbling fools around him. And in hindsight, is it anything like Vietnam? Back to interrogator Diane Sawyer.
Robert McNamara said of Vietnam, we were wrong. We were wrong. We
yeah,
were
that's not
terribly
the case with Iraq.
Wrong.
That's not the case with Iraq. I think the world's a better place with Saddam Hussein gone and with the Taliban gone and the Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan.
Would the world have been a better place if Rumsfeld had done something differently, or been gone, or never been there to begin with? In his book, it is Rumsfeld himself who dares us to contemplate this. On about page 370, there's a picture taken just before Gerald Ford's second assassination attempt, where the Rumsfeld caption reads, "The bullet from Sarah Moore's pistol passed between the president's head and mine before hitting the wall of the St. Francis Hotel." It's as though Rumsfeld's saying, it's all destiny. The Supreme Being had his chance to take me out back in the Ford administration. Supreme Being. Good name for this memoir, perhaps. Better than known and unknown. He did it his way.
You know, I find it interesting that you put the last clip was of him saying the world's a better place without Saddam Hussein, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. Only one of those is actually
That's right.
gone
That's right.
That's at this right. point. So...
You know, I read a bunch of this book, and as it doesn't change my mind about Donald Rumsfeld at all, about the criticism that he's received. Many have called him the worst defense secretary ever in U.S. history, but it is a fascinating read of a man who is at the center of Washington for so long. I interviewed him back in 1996 when he was working on the Dole campaign. He hated to be interviewed. Hated it.
He seemed and to enjoy it during his time at the Bush administration.
Especially by a two-bit cable guy named John Hockenberry. Boy, did he hate it.